is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later
right
those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors,
Chris, just stand by. We'll be on the air
there'll
momentarily.
There'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have as my featured guest today, Chris Weinhardt, whom I featured recently on The Fetz Presents, which is an in-depth interview show I do on Tuesdays and Thursdays at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. Chris has impressed me with a very agile mind and a breadth of interest and lots of opinions. So I wanted to invite him here today, where we will be discussing and taking questions from you, calls in with Giuseppe manning the phones, especially about current political developments and the debate this evening. Chris, what are you expecting to happen tonight?
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm still waiting for Biden's head to pop off or something crazy like this. He reminds me of something like of like Max Headroom meets, man, Weekend at Bernie's or something, like some sort of deep state fabrication of a person they're trying to keep together. And really just, I don't think he can even speak for himself. I'm just going to be interesting to see him try. That's all I could say.
Well, your point's well taken, because it appears he isn't speaking for himself. That, in fact, we know in the past he's had the use of a teleprompter, that he's lost his cognitive abilities. We know that he's on drugs for his mental incompetence, and that, in fact, one of his staffers has reported they've had meetings to determine what type of adult diaper he should be wearing, because along with the medication he's taking is a side effect of incontinence. So they want to make sure it's not too conspicuous in his clothing and doesn't crinkle when he urinates, which has led me to suggest he's got a future making commercials for Depends. But the fact is, Chris, we've got a report now that he's actually been equipped with a medical device, a skull implant that will enable him to receive answers to questions when he's flustered, and that we can look for the following pattern: that Joe gets a question he doesn't know to answer, looks flustered, puts his hand in his right pocket, presses a button, looks down so he can receive instructions from off of the stage. Then he smiles as he looks up and answers the question. We've had multiple reports about this now, and I think that's what we can look forward to tonight. In fact, for confirmation, the Trump campaign has asked candidates be checked for earpieces before the debate, and Biden has declined.
Doesn't shock me. You know, one thing I'd like to add to your comments there is from the scope of knowledge and experience that I've had with watching Joe Biden's political career, he has been patently full of shit. Pardon my my expletive here, but I think that he would be a perfect candidate for Depends and something like that. And I can say that the truth is much stranger than fiction. And I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. So back to you. What are your thoughts?
Oh, Chris, I agree completely. He's totally incompetent. He's lost it 100%. He's about the worst candidate I could imagine the Democrats could run, but it appears he was their choice because they wanted someone they could manipulate. We've heard that from Angela Davis. We've heard that from AOC, that Biden wasn't the candidate they thought was the best, but the one they thought would be the easiest to control, to manipulate, to pressure into promoting the Green New Deal and other of the progressive agendas. So I think that's why we're saddled with someone who's really completely unqualified. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad.
Certainly is. You know, and it's not the first time in history that this seems to have happened from the Democratic Party. If you look at Wilson and maybe even FDR to a certain extent, you know, they really did a lot of perception management with those two people as far as their competency and their ability. And if you look at historically speaking, some of the things that they have brought us into, whether it's both world wars, the Federal Reserve, the Selective Service Act, things like this, there's a plethora of questionable material, even like the alien custody thing that they pushed through with using the FBI as the ability to take any dissenters or anybody of like Italian or German heritage in World War One to take their property away. And they did very similar things in World War Two. So you're seeing like unprecedented things with civil asset forfeitures from these type of people pushing this type of government overreach forward under the guise of serving the common man and the poor folk. It's truly an inversion that I've never seen to this magnitude before. And giving these two examples in specific, that's quite a statement.
Oh, that's wonderful, Chris. Wonderful. I just love your command of the history and relevance to these contemporary topics. I think that it turns out Kamala Harris has been pulling some gaffes, too, that she referred to the Ruth Bader Ginsburg T-shirts by calling them the – let me see here to get it exactly right – She talked about these as the B.I.G., the notorious B.I.G., and then instead of R.B.G., T-shirts. I mean, she is such a phony, such a shallow person. It, frankly, it's embarrassing. And nevertheless, both she and Joe Biden have been referring to the Harris-Biden administration rather than Biden-Harris. It's very clear they're counting on her to save the day. I don't think there's a chance.
Yeah, talk about a Freudian slipper. Maybe it's intentional. You know, another thing I want to point out is, you know, the Democratic Party under LBJ and the Great Society, and even going into, like, say, with the Clinton administration, the tough on crime, the war on drugs, things like that, the for-profit prisons, the prison population among African-American communities doubling under the first term and then the second term as well, going from like 500,000 to over 2.5 million people in correctional facilities, most of them minorities, under the Clinton administration in the 90s. Putting these things together and seeing like the way that they pander to the poor folk and then betray them at every turn, it's truly amazing, because like they used to be the voice of the Democratic, or the Democratic Party used to be the voice of the labor and the people, and it's truly lost not only focus with that by accepting in place of labor the corporate, big corporate money. And it's really like a race to the bottom with both parties, it seems like. And man, I can only hope that the people are starting to wake up to this and really demanding more from their government. Because, you know, these public servants, they act like we're their slaves. And it should be, you know, they should be serving us, and certainly not the other way around.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Chris. Your articulation is just perfect. Absolutely sensational. And now we have, you know, Kamala Harris out there praising Black Lives Matter, which turns out to be a money laundering operation for the Democrats, that they're like the paramilitary wing of the party, that they seem to have believed that by bringing about all this looting and rioting in a pseudo attempt to promote racial or social justice, when it's actually nothing of the kind, it's having very damaging effects on Black lives and on, you know, Black businesses that are being the targets of many of these events, including arsons. But where it turns out, if you make a contribution, if you donate to Black Lives Matter, it turns out it goes to Act Blue, which is a Democratic fundraising site, so that money donated to Black Lives Matter winds up in the pocket of Beto O'Rourke or Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Beto O'Rourke. I mean, it's really insulting and outrageous. But Kamala is praising Black Lives Matter just as enthusiasm for rioting and looting is worn off with the American public. They're falling in their public support dramatically, Chris. And I think, you know, this is one of the keys to why I believe Donald Trump is going to win an overwhelming, even landslide, re-election.
I agree with you here. I think that there's been a strong effort to, like, from what I've seen around my neighborhood, and I'm just speaking from what I can see where I'm at near Detroit, is that there has been an effort in the last month or two to take a lot of Trump signs down, and there's been a lot of Biden signs flying up. And I hear a lot of people talking about their signs have been stolen, and they're in, you know, waiting to get more signs for Trump. And not saying that it's, you know, an operation or anything like that, but it seems to be very similar, like what Hillary Clinton was doing with the Green Party in 2016 with Jill Stein signs, as being somebody that passed out a bunch of Jill Stein signs. I went back the next day and most of them were gone. And, you know, they're using like municipal workers to do this in many cases, in addition to the people you're referring to, like through the NGOs and the BLM and Antifa and those type of sort. And I've also heard rumors that they've been funded through like Soros as well as the Ford Foundation. And it wouldn't be the first time that like even Rockefeller through the Trilateral Committee has pandered to the Black population. We talked about even like briefly touching this earlier about the weaponization of the civil rights movement under COINTEL program in the FBI, and the infiltration by like if you ever heard of Lewis Tackwood, you know, in the Glass House files, he talks about this in the 60s, like his experience with that. Like every major city has liaisons with the FBI and the CIA to avoid the charter disputes operating domestically. So they use the FBI as a cover. And I think it's phenomenal to see like this operation being not only ignored by these law enforcement agencies, but almost like they're being, they're not even investigating them. It's like they're encouraging it. and even politicians too. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're making super points, Chris, and, you know, this whole thing is so massively corrupt, and its tentacles seem to be very widespread. It turns out that Kamala Harris was not selected to be the vice presidential candidate by the Democratic Party or by means of the caucuses and the primaries. In fact, she fell out so early, there may have been as many as 15 Democrats who had a higher degree of popularity with the public than Kamala Harris, but rather by George Soros' son, who actually selected her, called his father to get confirmation, and it was a done deal, which reflects the fact that Soros has taken control of the Democratic Party, which turns out to be anything but. I think it would be more honesty in advertising if they described themselves as the undemocratic party.
Yeah, no doubt. Kind of reminds me of like when Obama came in and CEO of Citigroup, Mike Froman, you know, a guy with real strong ties to Israel, picked his cabinet person for person before he even had won. So I kind of like can even question some of the things of the people that Trump has put in his cabinet. I know sometimes you got to maybe work with these people at some levels. But, man, I'm just kind of even nervous about how this whole process seems to be unfolding and what seems to be being made from this. What are your thoughts on this? Just watching this throughout history, I mean, this has got to be an apex in terms of technocracy and in terms of like just the power structures undercutting the need of the people and exploiting, let's just say, the paradox of labor in terms of political force and military force as well. So it's kind of interesting stuff that we're seeing right now, and I'm just blown away by it. I can't imagine how you would feel after seeing the 60s and then this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you got it right in that, by the way, we're getting reports as we go along. It turns out Biden wants a break every 30 minutes. I mean, I think that's going to be empty his adult, change his adult diaper. I mean, this is getting embarrassingly bad. It says here, too, Joe Biden's been given tonight's debate questions in advance. That's very, very bad, but it's, indicative of how far they're going to go in their attempts to, bolster Biden and defeat Trump. Because remember, since he's got the earpiece, you got some experts in the background who are preparing the answers to the questions that he's already been given in advance, and then they'll just feed him the answers, really depriving the American people of what they thought they were going to get, an honest exchange. I agree with you, by the way, about the fact that Trump has appointed so many dual citizens or Zionists to his cabinet, and the fact that he's benefited Israel so massively here, by the way, with, designating, moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, implying that it's the capital of Israel, that the Golan Heights are supposed to be a part of Israel when it's recognized that it's Israeli occupied Syrian territory, that he's defunded the UN organization that was assisting Palestinian refugees, and maybe even worse than all of those combined, which are terrible in and of themselves, by executive order, redefined anti-Semitism to include criticism of the actions of the government of Israel. I mean, that's a blatant violation of the First Amendment. And I'm therefore, if the Democrats had actually wanted to get Trump into real trouble, you could certainly argue this was a blatant violation of the First Amendment, which he took an oath to uphold, which might have made substance to their impeachment charges, when in fact they did it on the basis of anything but, especially the Ukraine phone conversation where he did nothing wrong, but where in the past Joe Biden has actually committed the kind of quid pro quo they were accusing the president of having done, but it was true of Joe and false of Donald.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. You remember that conversation that the FSB picked up, the Russian Secret Intelligence Service, between, I think it was Ambassador Hyatt and Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State, where they were actually talking about taking Yatsenyukov out and putting in either Klitschko was one of the guys, and there was another guy they had lined up, possibly for the Prime Minister of Ukraine in February of 2014. And they were doing this on unencrypted communication devices. So, I mean, if anything, it was pretty sloppy in terms of national security purposes as well. I also want to point out what you're saying about BlackRock, you know, and I think that they have taken over not only the Treasury, but have taken the Pentagon budget dark under FASB 56. And the only thing we really heard was the sensations that were going around about the Kavanaugh hearings at the time when this happened. And of course, you know, BlackRock was one of the companies that was hired by the Fed to guide them financially through the 2008 TARP bailouts. And they were also ones that were with the Event 201 COVID-19 plan, as well as the rollout for ventilators and the vaccine. And, you know, a lot of their pharmaceutical investments and a lot of the 401ks through Wall Street are managed in these index funds through BlackRock, Fidelity, and a couple other major companies that are, you know, really pushing some of these technocratic offerings forward that are really certainly not democratic and certainly not maybe in the best interest of the people. So I think that there's some things that are being underlooked by both sides, in more so on the democratic side, you know, because they're really trying to like invert these things as like safety measures. And in many cases, they are quite the contrary, you know, in terms of like vaccine safety or things like this, wearing masks or social distancing or shutting down the economy or things like that.
Yeah. How
so
much
back to you on that? Sorry, I'm all over.
Well, how much have you looked into those? You know, it seems to me they're all counterproductive. They don't work. They have no scientific or medical basis. And in fact, they're actually harmful to human beings and other living things. And I worry, Chris, that children whose parents, in a misguided concern for their well-being, force them to wear masks are actually going to do permanent damage to their brains by depleting their brain cells of oxygen. I'm just distraught over this because I believe the effects are going to be permanent.
Yes, and also, like, you can say that about masks, and you can even say that as well as about vaccines. A lot of the parents are the ones that are forced to deal with the aftermath of an injured child from most of these experiments. And in many cases, they're being misled, if not flatly deceived, by their medical professionals, as well as an industry that is pushing this forward behind the medical institutions that are really not looking at really the cause or the effect. Or, you know, it's a problem reaction solution Hegelian dialect that's being like muzzle loaded into this industry. And it's not a healthcare service. It's an industry. And it's a lot of things arguably can be causing more harm than good from that as well. And I can almost have to suggest that it may not be accidental, and it could be more towards malice aforethought or things of this nature in accordance to things like Agenda 2025 or things like that. So, yeah, it's really hard to give the people behind a lot of these power structures the benefit of the doubt after they've consistently deceived us as well as betray us. And I mean, you know, what they're doing with children and this fear and this whole overreaction to what seems to me a sensationalized instance with this COVID thing. And it's a Hegelian dialect where they're trying to bring in, like you say, the vaccine or even like the social distancing or the social contract tracing or the quantum financial system, things like this. Awful convenient that it's all happening at once, isn't it?
Yes. I want to bring in my producer, Giuseppe, who actually has a show of his own here with you, Chris, because you're really a phenomenon. I just love how you put these things together. Giuseppe, do you not share my enthusiasm for Chris and his abilities?
Yes, Chris has really done his homework and sees how the world, especially this country, works lucidly.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Chris, unwind more about the COVID and how we're all being played. I mean, take time about it and, you know, lay out a few more points, if you will.
Sure, no problem. Well, as you know, from the 90s, there was a series of think tanks that have appraised the American Patriot as the most dangerous threat to their New World Order government. And of course, many of the collisions, like with the World Trade Organizations in the late 90s, as well as the PATCON operations that were mostly run by the feds and certain law enforcement agencies to entrap patriots, to pull them into things. Very similar to what they were doing with the War of Terror and Muslims and poor black kids, a similar type of a context. So I think that there has been like an attempt to not only control the population, to microchip them, to take the tax cattle of the citizenry globally, and to inventory them into this quantum financial system. And really the only way to get this to go along in most cases, what was it, Carol Quigley said that you can accomplish more in 5 years of war than you can in 50 years of peace. Well, with this pandemic, they got more done in 5 months than they could in 5 years of war. So I really think that there has been some sort of a lockstep agenda that literally by the Rockefellers that seems to be pushing this World Health Organization, World Bank, UN agenda that is very much correlated to this. And if you remember in 2009, they had a similar thing with the EU and Europe with GlaxoSmithKline and AstraZeneca and a couple other major companies, Roche as well, I believe, where they had actually gotten caught manipulating information, statistics, severities of the SARS threat in 2009 in attempt to really extort billions and billions of dollars from the EU and many of these nations. So this is not the first time these people have done something like this. There's a long history of them developing these military biowarfare weapons for the sake of national security, and then unleashing them on, you know, let's just say resistant populations in terms of, let's just say, their propensity to take a World Bank loan or to allow a central bank from these people into their country. So I think that it's not a first time that we've seen this. It's just maybe the first time it's hit America like it has here. So what are your thoughts?
So elaborate on who you think are the key players behind all of this. Does it go back to the Rothschilds? You mentioned the Rockefellers.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think they're all kind of lumped in with this. I think that there is a secret society, a Masonic order that is running this type of operation. And they are the big money behind not only the military industrial complex, but the communications industries, the pharmaceutical industries. The communications obviously is a big thing, the 5G push and a lot of this DNA recombinant type of stuff that they're mixing, like stuff that you hear about in the Bible, you know, where it's like mixing man and beast together and you know, really mutating humans through these things. I think that if you look at the World Health Organization and the CDC, these are privately run entities. And just like our legal system is accountable to the bar, the British Accreditation Registry System, in holding an oath of supremacy to London, I almost feel that the medical community is holding a Hippocratic oath that has been either violated or misdirected because they seem to really worship Big Pharma.
Chris, hold that thought. We're going to a break. Yep. We'll be right back. This is Jim Fetcher of Raw Deal. Steinhardt. We'll be back.
At Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Chris, it's really fascinating having you on here. You're rather like a runaway freight train. You have so much information you deliver at such a clip. I've been told that was true of me, but I'm telling you, you are blowing me away, my friend. I'm just very, very impressed. I think you might need a show of your own. Would you be interested in having a talk show, Chris?
Sure, I'd give it a thought. I'm an amateur at this, but somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah. Stand by. I don't get it. We got some music here still going. Let's see what the.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I don't know why that's playing. That shouldn't be
even
playing.
The government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Like a little honey on the lone highway, left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer on The Raw Deal with my special guest, Chris Weinhardt. Now that we have endured, I think what happened, Giuseppe, is it just flipped to the next, you know, break, and there was nothing you could do about it. I've got such a fabulous guest. I want to open the lines here. The call-in number to reach Giuseppe and to talk to Chris and me, 703-879-8880. So it's 703-879-3800, 703-879-8880. Chris, it seems to me, if it's already the word on the street that Biden's been given the questions in advance, if he's refusing to allow a check for an earpiece, if he wants a break every 30 minutes so that he can change his adult diapers, I think the Democratic Party has just blown it. I think it's all over. I think today is the day that all the scales fall from the public's eyes and they realize this whole thing has been an elaborate charade by the DNC.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this kind of gets into some of the stuff they talked about in 2012. And I don't know if you're familiar with like Barrett Brown or the Jeremy Hammond, where they exposed the H.B. Gary force multiplication software that they can put on like Palantir social media applications. And it lends the optic of more people establishing, you know, a consensus for something. And it's really controlled by an administrator that holds like 20, 30 fake profiles. And they can lend the optic of consensus online in the absence of actual consensus of the people. So I feel that Hillary Clinton used this device immensely in 2016. And I don't think that she had as many votes as she had. She's claimed to have won the popular vote, right? But, you know, I have never met anybody really that's voted for Hillary Clinton to this day. So I think it's fascinating to look at, like, maybe how they're trying to run this playbook again with Biden. And like the polls and the media and everybody just running this smoke and mirrors or this Plato's cave effect on the multitudes in the way that they are, like contesting that Biden should win the majority vote. And if he doesn't, then it's some sort of malfeasance. So I think it's really a mind F that's going on here that seems to be pretty evident to me. What are your thoughts?
Well, it seems to me, Chris, is becoming so obvious that this guy is not up to the job, that the Democrats have embarrassed themselves in such a profound way. I really think today is the day that is decisive for the outcome. I have been anticipating Trump winning a landslide re-election anyhow. I even have projected he could take all 50 states, even California, because there are signs that Californians are really fed up with their own government, that lots of Trump signs have been showing up. And by the way, that's another side story we have, that we're getting multiple reports of Trump signs being taken down and Biden signs being put up in various areas because there's no enthusiasm for Joe Biden. I mean, he was basically, in my opinion, dead on arrival. When Trump came to Kenosha, for example, recently, there were citizens lined up for 5 miles. When Joe Biden came, there was one woman, a school teacher, out of the Joe Biden cheerleading squad. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad. It's reminiscent of 2016 when Hillary would poll crowds larger than Biden, say 300 in St. Petersburg. Well, Trump was polling, you know, 30,000 in Boca Raton. And they even photoshopped pictures of the crowd to make it look like there'd been a large turnout for Hillary when there was no such thing. I mean, when is the Democrat Party going to come to grips with the fact that it's completely failed the American people? It's incapable of governments. Really needs to be turned inside out in reverse. I mean, this is just disgraceful beyond words.
Yes, sir, I agree. I do agree they need some sort of autopsy, and I don't really attribute it to failure. I look at it more as of a betrayal. And, you know, as a lifelong Democrat who's seen this go on, and a Bernie supporter in 2016, where they did the same thing with Bernie folk in the primary that they're doing, you know, with Trump in the national. And really, I just think that as far as candidate quality, Biden reminds me of like a McGovern, where he's just going to get cloud. I can't see any qualities in him other than him being a sellout to corporate interests. So I don't see how, like, personally, you know, come on, man, is going to win an election for him. And it's certainly not the repetition of half truths and, you know, optics and deceptions in that realm either. You know, it seems like they're really doing something with the perception of consensus in this type of election here. So yeah, I really think that they've got all hands on deck here, and they're playing all cards, you know, that they can. So, I'm baffled by this as well, that it's even a thing. And I'm surprised that there's actually people that are, like, putting Biden signs on their lawn in some way, shape, or form. And I just almost have to, like, shake them out of their hysteria and ask them what the hell's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, Trump is so much smarter than the people he's dealing with. You know, do they really think they can pull off this kind of scam, that they could fix Joe with an implant in his skull to give him, feed him information, and that we wouldn't learn about it? I mean, notice that's something he can't just take out of his ear. It's not an insertable ear device such as Hillary. Even Hillary had this box on her back that was well known to people in television as a communication device with wires running up to her ear. Trump knew it then. He patted her on the back and he went ahead and took her apart on the debate stage anyway. I think with Biden, they knew they had to do something because he falls apart so quickly. He's utterly incoherent. And I think this has gone far beyond mere embarrassment. I mean, this is completely disgusting, that the Democrats are doing all this and trying to keep up the pretense. I mean, that they nominated a totally incompetent candidate. My God, now the hens are coming home to roost. This is unbelievable. I think the American people are going to be shocked by the developments taking place today that we're reporting here on the air. Chris, it's just stunning.
Well, I just have to say by like default or like process of elimination, Joe Biden's bulk of material and his lifelong work makes Trump look like a genius and a godsend, I will say. And it almost seems to be a theatric that is being portrayed from like CFR and AIPAC or the powers that be. I don't know. You know, as far as this whole thing, like you can't find a more reprehensible candidate than Hillary Clinton. Oops, there's Joe Biden. We found one, you know. So like it almost seems like it's a race to the bottom and they're just it's like a Stockholm syndrome they're doing with their base and with the people. And I can't believe that it's going on. I can't believe the people aren't demanding more. I can't believe that they're joining in on this infantilization of our entire political process. And really like the theatrics are kind of steering a controlled opposition dialogue that's really avoiding the stuff that the people need to address. Like, in other words, as long as we're talking about Joe Biden or whatever, or Trump or buying into that left-right paradigm, we're really, we're not putting a third offering out there that is looking out for the people, the common man. You know, there's a lot of people getting kicked out of their homes. A lot of people's livelihoods been shut down. You know, the people trying to deliver a vaccine through the military, you know, the nanotech, the Jedi contract, the Microsoft Nightingale contracts, and all these conflicts of interest through Wall Street and BlackRock. You know, but nobody's talking about this. We're talking about whether Joe Biden is going to, you know, whip his thing out or fondle a little girl or fall off the stage or Lord knows what, you know, and like missing the point, you know.
Chris, you're just dazzling. I'm just loving this. Fantastic. I've done thousands of interviews, Chris, but you really are in a class by yourself. I'm just so impressed. I mean, I'm telling you, this is all 100% positive. And I'm hoping we get some callers in, you know, to take advantage of your being here on the show. it's just fantastic.
Hopefully they're, hopefully I'm not scaring people off, talking about these crazy things like this, because they're not, I don't think they're crazy. I think that there's stuff that the critical mass is seeing. And like the media is there to gaslight us into thinking there's nothing to see here or that we're crazy or like conspiracy theorists, as you can very well vouch for in your career, man. You've been through the gauntlet with this, and hats off to you, by the way, because man, you've held in there and really stayed after the truth, and that's a commendable thing, man. That is a patriot, that is a warrior, and in my eyes that deserves immense respect. And I coming from you with these kind words, it's just blowing me away, so thank you so much.
Well, they're 100% sincere, Chris. I've done so many interviews, but I've never really been quite so overwhelmed as I am by you here and now. You're just doing a fantastic job. You're on top of all of this. Now, you mentioned, you know, the use of the military. I have supposed that Trump, in fact, is actually opposed to mandatory vaccination. I don't think he even likes vaccinations. My impression is his own son, Barron, has suffered adverse effects from a vaccination and that he's a high-functioning autistic because of vaccination. So I cannot see Donald Trump promoting mandatory vaccinations. But because the public has been so plagued by the likes of Anthony Fauci, who has, in my opinion, done more damage to the United States than any other figure in history, and that goes far beyond Joe Stalin or Adolf Hitler or anyone else you might want to name. This guy, Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, as I refer to him, has really committed serious damage to the United States. I don't think Trump really favors vaccines. He's already had his guy, Scott Atlas, where I suggested long ago he need to bring in a better medical theory higher up, you know, and to give him his personal advisor, his medical advisor, which doesn't even require Senate confirmation, and he has done that. Scott Atlas has stated that these vaccinations are not going to be mandatory. We were all relieved to hear that. What are your thoughts? I mean, what's going on with the move for vaccination? Is it just a political stance? That's my basic underlying opinion. I can't believe Trump actually wants to vaccinate the public.
Well, I sure hope you're right. I will state in Trump's defense that he is not only relying on BlackRock and many other of the Wall Street financial gurus to lead him out of this, let's just say our massive debt and the war of terror and the political let's just say the political capital that we've expended for these type of endeavors and transition us into a fourth industrial revolution, whatever he's trying to do. But I will say that Wall Street has inextricably tied the pension funds of Main Street to the success and failure of these enterprises, such as, you know, like I said, through BlackRock and Fidelity. They own, you know, big parts of pharmaceutical industries through these index funds, as well as the mainstream media and you know, media outlets as well. So I think that these are things that Trump has to, you know, quote unquote, deal with. And it's a one man versus this whole Leviathan. So, you know, in his defense, I hope that he is a white hat. And I really hope that you've got this right. And you know, I respect your opinion in this, and I just hope that it's true. I hope that it works out like how we all hope, you know. I mean,
well, one of my regulars, most frequent callers, actually from California, is on the line. Paul, join the conversation. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say and discuss with Chris. Speak.
Well, thanks. Yeah, your producer sent me a text asking me if I wanted to be on the show. It was actually before the top of the hour, and I texted back and I said, well, this only if that's appropriate, because this is a good, knowledgeable guest that you got going. So,
oh, of course. You know. Oh, absolutely. 100%. He's fantastic. And I thought you might want to partake of probing his depth of knowledge and intellect.
Gosh, I wish such things had ever been said about me before.
Well, you're not so bad, but I tell you, Chris is in a class by himself. I'm very impressed.
Okay,
we love you,
right,
Paul.
Well, I'll accept second or third place as long as I'm well, you know, at this point, I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we can all have hope, right? Hope about what Trump might be. Okay, I mean, he gives us glimpses and glimmers, doesn't he? But at the same time, it gives us all kinds of other stuff, which is quite alarming. So who is the real Trump? You know, can it be said that we don't know? I'm not sure that that's valid. I mean, when you
all right, let me go back to Chris. Chris, are you a skeptic about Trump then, or what do you think? I mean, I'm inclined to think he's actually the real deal. So I believe he cares about America. I believe he's taken great pride in his accomplishments with the economy, the stock market, and a host of other issues, and that now he's hooked on it. He wants to succeed. He wants to come across and actually make his place in history as perhaps among the greatest of all presidents. I want to give him the chance. Your thought?
Yeah, I would like to think that he would have a lot of ego involved with the success or failure of his candidacy and his presidency and his administration, obviously. I'm definitely very weary of his cabinet choice, of some of his things that he's done while he's been in office. I feel that the persecution of Trump has been an optic to strengthen his base to some extent, because the media seems to go after absurdities with him that have been, you know, half truths at best or complete fiction. And while ignoring the stuff that is provably true and that should be maybe scrutinized more so. So I agree with the caller there about the skepticism and of not only this theatric, but also of, you know, the intentions of Donald Trump. I know that he has ties to Israel. I know that he's got extensive ties to Masonry and the School of Business through Wharton. And he's got a lot of friends, you know, high up there. You know, God, I really hope that he is a patriot. I really hope that this is true. But, man, I think that he should I think he has definitely the service of Cambridge Analytics as well, which is, you know, Mercer's one of his campaign donors, Peter Thiel, Palantir. So he's got a well to go from as far as data and people, like what the people need. So he could definitely go to the well in terms of that to find out what they want to hear and to tell them these things. You know, but he's definitely done some things that has put me on very much on alarm, like the caller said. And you know, I'm hoping that he's the better choice than obviously Joe Biden. It's a no brainer. But you know, as far as like his being a complete white hat, you know, I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I need more from him.
Well, let me say there. You know, a couple of points I would make here. If this guy were a part of the cabal or the deep state, why would they be trying so desperately to get him out? You know, obviously, he's a major threat to the establishment. And they have been tripping all over themselves trying to come up with ways to get him out. The Russia hoax, Ukraine gate, the impeachment, the coronavirus, one after another, Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I just cannot believe he's a part of an establishment that's trying so desperately to get rid of him. They are afraid of him. They are pissing in their pants. Biden's doing it involuntarily. They're doing it involuntarily because they're scared of the guy. It also, this is interesting. I just ran across and reported today on a show called Need to Know, where Giuseppe and I are doing daily updates with one other color commentator who varies from day to day about the news, the developments you need to know. And I was reporting how that polling among Jews has shown 2/3 of them are supporting not Donald Trump, but Joe Biden. And I find this so damn peculiar, given all the largesse he has shown toward Israel, that I found it almost incomprehensible. And I asked a friend whom I admire greatly with the great breadth of understanding of historical issues and the like, and he said he thinks it's because they're not giving him 100%. He's only giving them 90% of they want. And that includes on their agenda now. And by the way, I praise Trump for not getting us into any wars, though he's done a couple of stupid things where I've been most severely critical of him in terms of his Middle East policy, you know, lobbing those missiles into Syria in response to an obviously staged fake attack and taking out Soleimani, which was I regard as a colossal blunder and immoral and illegal, and fault him severely for that, which I think reflect too much of his concern for Israel rather than the best interests of the United States. But it's bizarre to me that such a high percentage of Jews would be supporting Biden over Trump under these circumstances. Your thoughts?
Well, maybe that could be part of the show. I don't know. I mean, that's, it's really, I don't think that they're necessarily as scared of Trump as they are as scared of us, the American middle class that has been not only disenfranchised, but deceived, historically speaking. So I think that, you look at the most heavily armed population on Earth, and the UN is really facing down this as its last hurdle, we'll say. So I think that's really why they're trying to go around the world and hammer down all these other countries like Australia and things like that, and maybe the EU as well. But I really think that there's a global agenda, a bigger picture. Like I said, the quantum financial system and the reset and the debt and all these things that are much bigger pictures, right, that Trump is somehow or another sufficing or handling for this thing. And I just think time will be the only thing that will tell us exactly whether he was a white hat or not. And I just hope it seems to be the one thing we can afford to spend at this time.
Hang on, Paul. I'm going to bring you in after the break, but we're almost there. And I got to give out the number again, the call-in number for anyone who'd like to speak to Chris or me or Paul for that matter is 703-879-8880, 703-879-8880. It looks as though the Democratic candidacy is absolutely falling apart at the seams. We got reports Biden's been given the questions in advance. He wants 30-minute breaks in order to change his adult diaper, that he is not willing to have an inspection to see whether he's got a hearing device. I think this is all calamitous for the Democrats, and that the American people are going to be shocked by the cumulative effect thereof. Chris, I'm just delighted you're here. Giuseppe is managing, producing for us, and he and I go way back. We're going to be covering the debate tonight. We're going to live stream the debate with a commentary on what's going on, and look for those gestures where Biden puts his hand in his pocket to turn out his device, where he looks downward because he can't look at the speaker at the same time and process both streams of information, and then looks up smiling to give the answer. Now, since we already ran the break, Giuseppe, early, maybe we're not going to have a break. Is that your thought now?
Oh, interesting. I just heard back from Mr. Rowe, who normally would fix it, but he is doing his own show on A.
Yeah.
So it could, I bet that was the top of the hour break that somehow because we're already at 59, and that break should have started 2 hours ago. I mean, two minutes ago.
Exactly.
That was the top of the hour break. Somehow it wasn't correctly. It lost its 27 minutes of patience, and it just ran right away.
Well, just take advantage of it. Why don't you say a few words, Giuseppe, about all these issues here? I mean, this is utterly, to me, fascinating that we're getting all of this. I mean, Trump knows exactly what's going on, and if the Democrats thought they could outsmart him here, I mean, they were just grossly deluded as they're seeking to make the American public about the coronavirus, Antifa, and Black Lives Matter. Your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think that the elephant in the room surrounding why the globalist parasites, the international Jew, keep going after Trump so mercilessly is the reason he got elected. When Steve Bannon, who was a shrewd guy, started playing all types of commercials and putting in speeches, calls to the silent white majority of this nation that we're gonna bring the troops back from these wars for Israel. We're done with it. We're gonna bring back manufacturing and real living wage jobs and all the hot buttons of the silent majority in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in Salt Lake City, Utah, in Little Rock, Arkansas, that people wanted to hear. He woke up the great silent majority that probably wasn't even going to vote because they thought Trump's just this New York hustler. And Hillary Clinton, I disagree with Chris. She is by far the most reprehensible candidate ever. Biden is a loser, but Clinton is satanically evil. So I have to take umbrage with that observation. Hillary Clinton's so much worse. Yeah. And so anyway, the powers that be, which are essentially weaponized minorities, you have to figure that the population of the United States is 2% Jewish. And of that population of many decent, loyal American Jews, 2% of that 2% is the satanically evil Zionists and the satanically evil communists like Yorgi Schwartz, the real name of George Soros. And they so fear the idea that the white majority will snap out of their hypnotic trance and stop being self-destructive and demand that the 60% majority in this country it should be served by the federal government, not a bunch of weaponized minorities such as the 2% of the impoverished blacks, not the 80% of the blacks who are making this system work, and the real bizarre minority, the LGBTQ, WTF, mentally ill, weird weirdos. And so that's what Soros's agenda and the Democratic golem serve now. And the fact that anyone like you or I or Chris or Paul could think that, oh, maybe there's hope for this traitorous government to be taken over by real candidates who serve us, that's why they're torturing Donald Trump.
Yeah. Serious stuff. Paul, I know you've got lots to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll try to rein it in a lot. I had quite a bit in response to what both you said and your guest. You know, I've had a high standard for a very long time, and I just keep coming back to the question, why not? Okay, so I don't really care how much Trump is being gone after. To me, that's a non-issue. I don't really know what it shows or what it doesn't show. But I'm a gambling man. I've mentioned that before, okay? And I joke around with you about the point spread on various games. But my nature is to look at things and to say to myself, okay, what about the real important stuff, okay? So is Trump ever, I don't care how many terms he gets, let's say he gets another two terms. In my opinion, he's never going to do anything about the chemtrails, okay? He's never going to arrest George Soros. He's never going to prosecute Hillary Clinton or John Podesta or all these other people that he has valid reason to prosecute. Okay, he's never going to cancel the debt and tell the American people that we've been ripped off by the Federal Reserve for a century. None of that is going to occur. He's not going to stop white genocide. He's not going to stop this unlimited non-white immigration into our country or speak about it the way he should okay? So in my opinion, I may check in on the debate, but I can't, because I've told you on the show before, Jim, and it's the God's truth. I've been awake to a lot of this stuff since the 80s. I first went to a seminar in 1983 and learned about the Federal Reserve. So it's kind of hard for me to look at the soap opera that we're presented with, and that's what it is. We're presented with a soap opera, and I know there's people that are listening to this show that agree with me, because on multiple occasions they've reached out and said so in emails, that I think that placing any faith in Trump at all until he turns the corner, until he shows us, okay, I don't place even, a 1% chance that any of the things that I speak of are going to come true. And that, in my opinion, is the real deal. In other words, the air that we breathe, the weather that's being manipulated, the things that are going on, war is being made upon us, okay? Make no mistake about it, and I know Giuseppe knows this, and you also do, Jim. War is being made upon us, multiple fronts. So if Trump is just going to dog whistle and say all these things but end up not really doing anything, like, for example, what did he do in the first term except appoint one Goldman Sachs Jew after another to the cabinet post? So I'll stop here, but you know how I feel about this.
Well,
I love you, Jim.
Yeah, Paul, well, you gotta tell us what you really think. I mean, look, Chris, I want you to pick up there. I have a great deal of faith in Trump. Paul obviously does not. I think he's already done a lot for the country. I think he's going to do a lot more. I want your assessment, Chris.
I think Paul makes some very valid points, and I can understand his skepticism given the dog and pony show that we've seen historically, not necessarily from Trump, but from the entire political spectrum. I can absolutely understand what he's saying, and even like, you know, with FASB 56 taking the budget dark, and, you know, BlackRock taking over the Treasury, and, you know, the Fed doing their wormy things, the negative interest rates, but nobody can get loans except for big business. So I think that they're really doing like a large asset stripping operation that seems to be going on. And, you know, as far as comparing the lesser of two evils at this point in time, I think we got to be focused, on a different conversation as far as like, it seems to be a race to the bottom between the R&D and the offerings are insufficient in many cases. And I think Paul makes some great points about the Trump cabinet and even some of the things that he's seen. I hope that there is faith to be had in him and that he does come through as a white hat. I truly do. I mean, obviously I do, but man, I'm nervous. I'm worried.
Let me bring in Giuseppe. Your thoughts, my friend. Giuseppe. Do we still have
Sorry, I was muted. Sorry, I'm here. I think that Paul is got it right, and everybody's making key points, and I don't think that – I think the common foundation is that right now this government is controlled by parasites. It's not of the people, for the people, by the people. It's of the parasites, by the parasites, for the parasites. And the parasites could be oligarchs. The parasites can be corporate leaders who are trying to pull off this great reset. Now, they're not all Jewish by any means, but they're all part of the Trilateral Commission. They're all part of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're all part of this newer one, the Davos Group. And they're out for a globalist agenda that creates a bipolar government. One of the poles is China. The other pole is a Western pole with Jerusalem running things. And they want a social credit system. So anybody like us is on a radio show like this. We go look at our digital only currency bank account and we're talking these truths and oops, all of a sudden all our money's gone. Ooh, that's bad boy, bad girl. Don't do it. So that's the level of control, because if you look amidst the population, global population of 7.3 billion with a B, we're looking at maybe 5,000 parasites controlling everything. And that's just so wrong.
Yes, yes, it is. So
let me just mention one issue, okay? There could be like 5 or 10, or maybe I could even go to 15 issues. But let's just take one issue, the vaccine. So we've all heard what Trump has said, right? So my question would be to you and everybody on this call, would you ever say that? Okay, no. What would be wrong for Trump just coming out truthfully, right, and socking these people in the face? They all hate him anyway, right? They're all against him anyway. Why wouldn't Trump just go, you know what, I don't believe in any of this vaccine nonsense. There isn't any way I'm going to be behind the mandatory vaccine. It's only voluntary. It's a medical intervention that people have the right to choose. And there isn't any way that I would back the idea of a government mandated vaccine. How hard would that be for Trump to say? Okay. But what did he actually say? Oh, well, we're going to use the military to distribute the vaccine in a powerful way. What? What does that even mean? And we could all go on. So look, I will concede the instant matter point. And here's the instant point. Yes, obviously Trump is preferable to a sleazy son of a bitch like Biden, okay? Nobody could argue with that. But is that really the question that we should be asking? Is that really what we need to be focused on? Yes, I know we have an election, and we're going to have to pick one or the other. I get that. But the bottom line is this, we're given a choice between two, in my opinion, two swamp creatures of varying degrees. And when you look at the people that Trump has appointed, like Mnuchin, right, secretary, or Wilbur Ross, of Commerce, and Mnuchin, secretary of Treasury, and then Barr? I mean, a great article on Winter Watch about the swamp creature Barr is, you know, the attorney general, who many people believe was key to suppressing the Franklin prosecution that was, mm-hmm. you know, going to be taking place under the Bush administration. So here we are now, what, three decades later, and Barr's attorney general again. And just kind of like, I've given up hope, and I've got a right to. I've got a right
okay.
to go without hope.
Got it. You've given up hope. I haven't, but I'm glad to hear your opinion, Chris. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that really what we're seeing is stuff that, there's a Masonic order, I think, and there's a division of these Rosicrucians that are maybe manifesting in two different directions of control of the New World Order. In many cases, these guys are working with each other in business deals and finance and through UN agendas and things like this. And in other ways, they have their own private interests or their own agendas or their own ideas on how to deliver the future in, whether it's the French right or the York right. And they're working very much with the Nation of Israel and the creation of that through the UN. I feel that there's more to this than the common man would know. And it really reminds me of what like Pike says in Morals and Dogmas about that the Masons, even at the highest levels or at the middle levels, will not even know what they're doing. They'll be initiated and indoctrinated towards an agenda that is a deception. And I think maybe this is like at the top levels, only these people know what's going on. And at the bottom levels, maybe they think they know what's going on. And truly it's more of a theatric or more for us to kind of gossip and drool over or, you know, fret over. So, yeah, just to add to the comments there, I think that your callers and your people have it right on. And I it's just good to hear other people out there that are arriving at this conclusion.
I'm not quite in the same boat because I still have faith that Trump is doing good things for the American people and is not another creature of the swamp. So it's interesting we have the diversity of opinion, and I'm very fascinated to get your take, Chris, because you seem to me to be a super smart guy who's been paying a lot of attention. Giuseppe, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I really like his investigation into some of the actual nuts and bolts of the secret society initiatives and the Rosicrucians and all that. There's a lot of dark things that have been going on for centuries and millennia, and so much of it is hidden from the average person. You got to really do some deep digging to learn that stuff. So hats off to Chris for doing that.
Thank you.
And Jim, if I may, just to put a little finer point when I made that statement about giving up hope, not to be misunderstood here, I haven't given up hope for the fact that we can win, that we should win, we should try to win this overall battle that we're all in, all humanity now. I mean, this is worldwide, mm-hmm. The United States for sure, but definitely, that's why I didn't care for the thought about the coronavirus COVID agenda being used to, smear Trump or try to get him out of office, That may be a little sideshow, but this thing is worldwide. But having said that, if we go back to my famous analogy, which I've always enjoyed, if you remember, it's about your wife. Like your wife is a tramp, and she sleeps around everywhere, but occasionally she fixes you a good meal, so she's okay. I feel in a similar way about Trump, okay? So I don't think he's totally bad. Yes, he can, do some good things, right? But I just keep going back to that analogy because I think it's valid. Can he be trusted? No. Can you trust your wife? So let's put it this way. Your wife is a tramp, She sleeps around with everybody, but she does occasionally fix you a good meal, and you're pretty sure she's not going to bash your head in when you sleep, you know? Other than that, you could have a better wife.
Mind you, we're not talking about my wife, who is a super cook. very proper in her decorum and a terrific mother in many other virtues, but who takes a dim view of her husband's enthusiasm for Donald Trump. where I'm finding that it is more widely shared than I would have presumed, even among you gentlemen here today. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. So, Chris, what do you think we're going to find out tonight at the debate?
You might see Biden standing in his own puddle, but other than that, I don't think he's really going to offer much in terms of, like, looking out for the people or policies or anything like that. He's just going to manipulate fear like a fulcrum and lever and really try to push people into the situation of duress where they're not thinking straight and through fear going into this seemingly communist lockstep UN agenda. So, I don't expect much from him, so the bar is low. I don't give up hope either as far as, like, with Trump. I think that, like you say, his ego is a strong thing that like, he is very, very he's inextricably tied to how well or bad he does with this. So I think that at some point in time, that will be a legacy that either he will fulfill or he will fail in, and I think time will tell that as well. So I hope he's playing 5D chess and playing these guys off the ropes and going to come in with a knockout punch. But, you know, the stuff that I've seen is, I agree with Paul, man. I think he's spot on with the way he said things and his sentiments there, and I'm a skeptic by nature. So I like to see proof and like to see, you know, it more than just, you know, cryptic hints and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think there's potential for him, but I need to see more, you know, before I'm on board with everything.
Giuseppe.
Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, I give Trump a lot of credit for, unlike Jerry Nadler, the traitorous dual citizen who defecated in his own shorts on live TV a few days ago, and Biden, who is urinating regularly, incontinently. Donald Trump can control his bladder and his bowels, and for that, he has my vote.
I guess talk about the low standard really does apply. Go ahead, Paul.
That's good stuff. I'm telling you, man. We're talking about bodily functions and a wife who runs around with everybody and the milkman. So, I say, Jim, I don't have to tell you that the you or the your is, of course, a general term. Your wife is completely off limits. Now, your sister,
oh, we
that's
know
the
that,
matter.
Paul. Okay. I know that, sure.
Because my sister is probably similar, you know. I don't know why, but a lot of guys I know, they've got issues with their sister here and there.
I had a falling out with my sister here, I guess, about a year ago when she was at some kind of climate protest and was arrested with Jane Fonda, and they spent like 3 hours in a paddy wagon together. And she called me after to tell me about it, and she was upset because she'd read about this lawsuit where I'd been saddled with this huge judgment against me. And I started to explain to her, and I said, well, Julia, you know, have you looked at the evidence? And she said to me, I don't have to look at the evidence. And I got so pissed off, I hung up on her, and we haven't spoken since. I don't know if we'll ever speak again. But I was pretty upset that one of my, you know, my own siblings wouldn't give me the benefit of the doubt when they are not even looking at the evidence just because they're believing what they read in the newspaper. And you know what that's worth these days. We're seeing it in spades with the Biden and the Democrats and BLM and all the other happy horseshit that we're being shoveled every single day.
And yet she trusts Saigon Jane.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm not a arch critic of Jane Fonda. I have liked her in a lot of ways, but I was just rather stunned that my own sister, you know, would draw judgments about serious issues without even being willing to, as it were, hear my side of the story. And that of course, was what bothered me in that instance.
Well, just so you guys know, Oh, I was going to say, Jane Fonda's got some quality cinematic work. I would highly recommend Barbarella, in case you haven't seen that in a while. Back in the 60s. Anyway, it's an arcane reference if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, you know exactly why I made the reference. Go on, whoever was going to talk.
Hey, can I jump in and add a little comment to some of this thing? I think that
the
APA and the CIA work together to understand, you know, the dynamic between men and women. You know, men kind of drink more from the tree of wisdom. Women drink more from the tree of life. As mothers, they're more of, you know, maternal nurturers and things like this. They're more more prone to collaborate with authority. They're less prone to they're more prone to take emotional information in, limbically react to these type of things. And this is why the liberal movement has associated women in feminist movements in from things like the suffragette movement into like the 60s and the Steinem revolutions. And, you know, taking the mother, the strongest glue of the family, the traditional nurturer, and putting her out into the workforce and in like, you know, flipping roles with men and women some way. So like there's, you know, today's alpha male is yesterday's woman. You know, it's crazy, you know, what they're doing with this. And I just think it's an operation that has been, you know, done through the media, through the military, through finance, through education, you know, like the 1619 stuff as well, with civil rights and stuff as well. So, man, it's been a pretty extensive operation to play the caste system against each other.
Yes, and it's clear what you, when you look at what they're doing, what they have been doing, they even articulated way back when, I mean, in the protocols and other people that have admitted it. So you're taking the strongest resistance to their new world order tyranny, which would be, you know, white males, right? Educated, somewhat prosperous white males would be the roadblock to this new world order, one world government, complete, you know, police slave state. And they're undermining the white male using women and using other minorities. That's what they're doing. That's why they have all these job quotas. I mean, Trump came out with this ridiculous thing, and I have not read extensively about it, but this platinum plan for blacks. And it's a joke. I mean, I'm looking at an article right now on VDare where basically it says, stupid platinum plan for blacks won't work. Trump should propose gold plan for all Americans. And, I mean, this is the thing that, like I said, he keeps saying and doing things which, in my opinion, are anti-white. And, of course, that's the backbone of his, you know, of his support group, right? So why would he do and say and alienate these things? And so every site that I go to that what you would call – nationalist or white nationalist, and I'll just name several, right? Renegade Tribune, Winter Watch, National Vanguard, and then VDare. VDare is kind of white nationalist light, but none of these sites has much positive to say about Trump. So that's kind of what I've built my own position on, with my own, also my observation. But I like the guy. I mean, he's appealing. I loved him, you know, during the campaign against Clinton, the things he was saying. You know, he's an alpha he's an alpha male, he's assertive. He's aggressive. He's funny. He's witty. You know, all those things are appealing. But then again, what do we, you know, what do we see as far as the accomplishments? Yes, the economy was good for a while, but he's really not brought back much manufacturing, as Giuseppe mentioned earlier. So, anyway, that's my for the moment.
Well, I think you can't expect him to do everything overnight. I think he's done a tremendous amount for the United States. And you know, you start running through his list of accomplishments, it's very substantial. I do think this election is extremely consequential. And I believe anyone who, under these circumstances, would vote for the Democrats really has really lost their way, has drunk the Kool-Aid, has their head where the sun doesn't shine. Just to put it in most concise terms, Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know what? One thing I'd like to add to this is with this COVID thing, I think that it really is pulling people back into the polarization, the parties offering the controlled opposition dialogue more so than people might have wanted to or had intended going into the 2020 election. So I think that that has kind of been a situation that has been not only sensationalized, but has been brought into to polarize people out of fear and towards accepting these as the direction for the country rather than forging a third alternative like the Constitution Party. Because it seems like both these parties seem to be taking our rights away, taking our civil liberties or our assets away or our freedoms. So, yeah, I think that it almost seems to be a lockstep thing with left and right and AIPAC and CFR running the show and the Trilateral Commission as well. So yeah, you know, the usual suspects behind this. And I don't know, I just, I'm seeing it, but I don't think America's really seeing the forest of the trees on this yet. I think the fear is kind of too intense.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Oh, I was just texting with Joe Tones to figure out why the top of the hour, but I'm listening as well. I think that, you know, Donald Trump is pretty much been controlled by the New York Zionists ever since his first bankruptcy. I've even seen video of a Federal Reserve banker saying we could have destroyed Donald Trump, but instead we rebuilt him and put him back in the game because he's more, much more useful to us as what he's doing. And so I think that, you know, he said what he said to get elected, but, you know, he has to serve his masters.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. All right. I'd be willing, Jim and anybody who's listening, I'd be willing to do a 180 on Trump and totally support if you maybe just do one thing. I mean, there's like five or 10 things. Well, I'll just take one of them. How about arrest George Soros? Are you telling me now that all the American law enforcement institutions, such as the Justice Department or the FBI, can't gather sufficient evidence to bring a case against that man, right?
Excellent point.
For any number of charges. Do you know how popular Trump would be if he was to arrest George Soros? I mean, it would just be off the charts. Everybody knows.
And that. Clinton.
So just kind of, yeah, go ahead. Respond to that.
No, 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 don't need Clinton because she's too wired into the so-called America oligarchy. But Soros is an internationalist traitor. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's
a great suggestion, Paul. I hope Trump's listening and follows up. It's a great idea.
Well, I mean,
yeah, it would give me a lot of faith.
Yeah, an insurrection. I mean, this is organization, the whatever it is for an open society and all the money that they poured. You're telling me that there can't be enough solid financial evidence to get him for, like I said, treason, insurrection, any number of federal charges. Look at all the damage has been done by these riots and by all the things that he's been involved in. So like I said, you've got a guy who, you know, I'm sure Trump is probably an okay guy, man. He'd probably be fun to have a beer and a burger with, right? But where do his loyalties lie? Do they really lie with the American people, or do they really lie with the people of wealth and power that are also behind him? You know, so I just, to me, like I said, just do one thing. Thanks for hearing
Well, that's one of the things that you would like to see him do that you would find convincing, that he's legitimate.
Well, make a list for yourself too, Jim Fetcher. I've got a list of mine, and I won't go over it on the air. Everybody's heard it before. But what would you do if you were president, Jim? And you don't have to say it to me or on the air now, but just think about the kind of things that you would do, 1 to 10. Right? And then that'll give you an idea of where I'm coming from.
Stand by, Paul. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. I've had a couple of very positive responses to the Giuseppe and my live streaming the debate with commentary tonight. And people want to know where they can catch us do our thing, Giuseppe. So, I mean, I've got an email right here. I've had a text about it. I mean, I think it is a really good idea, and I'm glad we're doing it. I suppose people can watch, you know, I mean, on need to know on Twitter, Jim Fetzer, Twitter, YouTube, Giuseppe, Virginia.
Here, Jim, I can tell them the most common site will be people following you if they go to Jim Fetzer on Twitter. The next, if you go to Facebook and you search Need to Know, there is an actual Facebook page for Need to Know, : The Fetzer Report. You can watch it there. On YouTube, there's I have a Giuseppe Vaffangulo Need to Know YouTube page. If you search for Giuseppe space V as in Victor, Afanculo, that'll get you there. And then it's also going to be on Twitch. I have a Giuseppe Vaffangulo Need to Know Fetzer Report page on Twitch. So those are the four live sources you can go to watch you and I comment live on the debate.
Very good, Giuseppe. Need to Know being the key to it. I've got three of them: Twitter, Jim Fetzer; Need to Know Facebook page; Twitch, your Giuseppe Need to Know account. What was the fourth?
Did you say YouTube, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, Need to Know?
Okay, YouTube too. Yeah.
by the way, that'll be the main thing I'd be interested in, is to watch you guys comment on it. So that would be why I would look at it.
Well, Paul, I think there's very stunning things are going to happen tonight. I'm pretty convinced. So I think you'd be
for the entertainment value.
Say again.
You know, it'd be fun. I said for the entertainment value. You know what I was going to say. What I've thought about for a while now, and this is my proposal, we get this going sooner or later because we could all watch it from the tavern. I propose the Jim Fetzer's Real Deal Bar, Tavern, and Grill, you know.
I like it.
That's awesome.
We could do the old initials too. You know, all these places like to do the initial, you know, like we'll call it JP. We'll call it JP Fetzer's Real Deal Bar and Grill. I bet you people would come in to say, what's on the menu?
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Anyways.
Well, Giuseppe has, you know, got me going again on these daily news reports, which I think is terrific after that weird falling out on the Real Deal report, which I was enjoying a lot. And we're really, I think, covering a lot of territory, and I'm just really grateful to him for aiding and abetting and moving me in that direction.
Yeah, Jim, it's really it's encouraging because you know, when you were on Dean Ryan's page, you really must be the most dangerous mind on the internet, because Ryan was only getting 100 to 200 views, right? They were artificially throttling him down. And so now that you're no longer with it, he's getting between 1 and 2,000. And so we are getting, between the various platforms, like on Friday, we had 600 reported views. So we may be already a couple thousand, but they're not going to let us know.
Yeah, it's pretty damn interesting. Chris, I want to bring you back in. You're doing such a fabulous job here. I want to give you all the time in the world.
Oh, thank you for that. What would you like to hear from me about?
almost anything.
I'd go anywhere with this one.
Almost anything at the top of your mind.
Well, first of all, I must say that you did a very fine diplomatic job in correcting that your thing about the wives and all that stuff. I say you're a seasoned veteran and a very skilled diplomat. So good on you. As far as what to expect with the debate, man, I don't have too much hope for this. I honestly would like to tune into your live chat and hear what everybody else has to say on this and hear what some of the thoughts are.
Yeah,
it should be interesting to see how this turns out.
Well, it'll be fun. We actually live stream my first my conspiracy guy from on Sunday with Danny Siras, and it seems to have gone over very well, where we were talking about, the events involving Kyle Rittenhouse and this Breonna Taylor, and the fact that the stories have been so grossly misrepresented in the press, and that they're really based on a whole lot of misunderstandings. Kyle really is a national hero, and Breonna Taylor really is not an innocent or a saint. I mean, it's just remarkable. They even have recorded conversation where she's talking with her boyfriend in the jailhouse, talking about their criminal activities. I mean, he was apparently using her home as his address, stashing, you know, his drugs there, that she was not shot when she was lying in bed. She was in the hallway with him. In fact, Danny, who has an extensive background in law enforcement, believes he was actually using Breonna as a human shield to protect him. She was shot 6 times. He wasn't hit even once. But the whole thing was totally, totally the opposite of it being portrayed. And it turns out that no-knock raids are actually a good thing when you're dealing with, for example, drug dealers who are armed and dangerous, because otherwise it gives them time to prepare and unload a fuselage of bullets at the good guys. So, you know, the fact that they passed in response to this a no-knock warrant law is actually a bad thing, not a good one. It's one of these misguided efforts to do something right where they get it completely wrong. Chris.
Yeah, I think that with technocracy, you're seeing a lot of transitions as well as far as no-knock raids and elements of surprise and understanding what the situations are in these domestic incidents or these raids or things like that. I think that this whole thing has been grossly politicized, too, whether it's Floyd George or George Floyd, whatever, and this Breonna Taylor. And, you know, the Boule Society works with the Masons as well. And this is like how they mobilize the African-American community under outrage in historic half-truths to turn them into, you know, operatives or agents or assets that can be utilized for cannon fodder like you're seeing.
Yeah, fascinating. I think Biden's days are numbered. I think it's going to be completely obvious that he's totally incompetent and incontinent, and that, you know, it's just embarrassing that the Democrats put him up, and it's clearly not because, as they themselves acknowledge, he was the best candidate, but he was, they thought, the easiest to manipulate to support a far-out progressive agenda that the American people wouldn't swallow if it were spelled out for them, which is like his SCOTUS nominees. It won't actually be his list, but the list is so bad he won't even allow it out in public because everyone would be appalled by the caliber of the people he wants to nominate. Trump's done just the opposite, giving a list of a really highly qualified candidates, and the one he nominated appears to be simply excellent. I'm not suggesting she's perfect, but even, you know, a Harvard law professor who is a liberal who knows her has endorsed her as, you know, just an exceptional legal mind and of good character. And even if he disagrees with all of her decisions, he respects her and endorses her as the right candidate or among the right candidates for Trump to have nominated. So I think that's pretty strong stuff and in the right direction. And obviously, it's indispensable he moved now to do this because the Democrats are trying to create legal issues to sabotage the legitimacy of the election and to cast it for the Democrats on foul ground. And they need to have 9 members of the court so they won't be deadlocked 4-4. So I think everything that Trump and McConnell have been doing has been right and appropriate in the context of this Supreme Court nomination. Chris.
Yes, sir. I will state that it seems to me that the Democratic Party is not really providing any sort of a viable platform, like a jobs program or anything like that. They have just gone negative in terms of Trump. Our governor here in Michigan ran and supposedly won in 2018 on combating the racism of Donald Trump and fixing the roads and schools. And I have to say that in our case, Gretchen Whitmer is heavily invested in Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the largest insurers in the state, and has a strong vested interest in not only this pandemic and how it's being blown out of proportion, but in many cases, it seems to be a partisan effort with Democratic governors and a party line that seems to be towed. So like Biden is just the figurehead for this party line. And I, as far as I was saying earlier about him being the most reprehensible candidate, I just said that he didn't have like the vote blue no matter who or the women vote on his side. So like it's in terms of his ability to win, it doesn't seem even feasible. I don't see how I don't know where they're getting these polls from or these numbers from. But hey, whatever. Back to you.
A Political Insider has just published a list of 5 questions they think that Trump needs to insist Biden answer. Let me go through them. I think they have a point. Number 1, can Biden explain why his son Hunter received $3.5 million from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow? Here's number 2. Does Biden still believe Supreme Court nominees can be voted upon during an election year as he did in 2016? 3. Will Biden institute a national mask mandate as president, as he's declared he will do? 4. Would Biden bring U.S. troops home from Afghanistan and Iraq, which, of course, Trump is in the process of doing? And 5. Does Biden support the Green New Deal that would destroy jobs in West Virginia, Kentucky, and other states? I think those are all pretty good questions. And of course, they all impale him on a dilemma because answering them truthfully would move voters in the direction of Trump, where Trump's answers are pretty obvious. I open the floor, Paul. You want to take a stab at that?
Well, how about this? How about this question, not to the candidates, but to the American public? Would you trust Jill Biden with your 16-year-old daughter who passed out from having too much to Amen. Drink? versus would Amen. You trust yeah. a Donald Trump, or how about, Ron Paul, so on. Here's what I'll mention. I'm going to check out the debate, and especially I look forward to your commentary and that of Giuseppe. But I will mention what I have before in the past. That we kind of know it's a stage show and it's not real when we only get to hear these two people. Why not have a real debate where we have the presidential candidate from the Libertarian Party or from the Green Party or from the Socialist Party?
Yes.
And I'm betting that any number of these people will be much more intellectually sound and probably interesting than either Trump or Biden. But that's not what we have. And as you know, Jim, in the past, they wouldn't even let Nader in the debate as a spectator. So it kind of tells you that we're looking at a fixed system. Having said all of that, go ahead.
I like that, and I agree with that. But I also think that's one of the reasons why they find Trump so threatening. He's upsetting the establishment apple cart, and he's a little too unpredictable. And I still do not believe he's merely a representative of, you know, dark forces beneath the scene, although you, Giuseppe, and Chris, all three, offer reasons why I could be wrong at some level in my belief in him. I still think he's doing a lot of good for the American people.
Some I don't disagree with a lot of that, and I've never really contended he's just merely, this is your words now, merely a representative for dark forces. That's not my position. It's just he is not explicitly for the majority of people in this country for what he promised them in the 2016 campaign. So that's my main beef. Other than that, I will indeed keep a small piece of hope alive, because what else can we do?
Good, Paul. Good. Giuseppe.
Yeah, man, I would welcome real elections, real debate. And why don't we just all have heavily guarded paper ballots? I mean, every election is being messed with and rigged. Your good friend and former interview source, Richard Scanlon, has documented very effectively how all these elections are stolen.
Yeah. Do you mean the statistician?
Yeah, isn't Richard? I thought it was Scanlon.
No, it'll come to me. What a good guy he is. He's a guy.
Right.
He even has a book showing Hillary didn't even win the popular vote in 2015. Charnin.
Sorry, my bad.
Charnin. No problem. Nope. Chris, back. Come back.
Yes, I was just a fly on the wall enjoying this conversation. Man, you guys are really bringing up some interesting points and some genuine concerns that I've had. And yeah, I hope that things are going to work out like we'd like to see them, obviously. I mean, but I think that really the American people need to push the dialogue and push the conversation. And, I'd like to see more good faith efforts from Trump in terms of these type of things. He ran on the platform of lock her up. He had control of the Congress, and he didn't even really go after the Clinton Foundation. They didn't really do anything like that. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen maybe a little more justice served there.
Well, listen, yes. Well, I've discussed this with a number of sources who have better, deeper intel contacts than I, and it appears as though both Hillary and Bill are CIA, and that they have certain kinds of protection that make it very difficult to bring a legal case against them. I have no doubt Trump was utterly sincere, also in wanting to release all the JFK material, for example. And I still believe we're going to get a lot of truth about 9/11 during his second term, when he's not going to have to be concerned about re-election. He'll be very unfettered. I do believe he has been appalled by sex trafficking, child abuse, pedophilia, There's a lot going on in that area that is not being widely publicized, but I believe it's quite real, and that its intensity and prominence will become quite more evident after this vote on the 3rd of November. So I actually believe he's doing a lot of good. Some of that we would have liked to have seen overtly turn out to be compounded or compromised by certain legal obstacles. I think it's also true that this is why the Durham investigation is taking longer than one would have liked. It's crossing all the legal I's and all the legal T's and dotting all the legal I's. So I think there's a lot going on here. Chris?
Yes. I think that, like what you're saying, there's a lot of complex relationships between, like, DARPA, big finance, the educational institutions, the political spectrum, moneyed interest, private corporations as well. And, of course, you're seeing these billionaires really trying to control the resources of the world, whether they're natural or human. And I think that a lot of the political theater that is being manufactured is being hidden beneath that. And the dialogue is really being steered towards the incomprehensible in terms of our alternatives and our options. And I don't see anybody really looking out for the common sense or the common good of the people fully, you know. And I like Trump shows glimmers of this, and it gives me hope. And you know, I guess we got to just maybe try to build on that, because like you say, it is very complicated, the nature of relationships between the power structures and the supposed democracy that we have with our country.
I think we'd all agree that no president has ever been besieged on so many levels from so many directions to try to frustrate his efforts, quite, in my opinion, genuine and sincere to benefit the American people. I mean, the sabotage by the FBI and the Department of Justice, championed by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and John Brennan, I mean, even before his inauguration, appalling. That in and of itself was a huge obstacle no previous president has ever had to cope with. And it goes on from there, one after another after another. It's simply astonishing what he has had to deal with here. And in all of this, I'm on his side. And I respect every one of your reservations about him. And I certainly cannot deny that he is flawed on many different levels, where I'm especially concerned about his policy in the Middle East and too much deference to Israel. But I still have a lot of faith in the man and want to see him prevail and do a lot of good for America. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Giuseppe?
Oh, here I am. I thought I was muted. Sorry. I was typing in the chat room where people can watch our live commentary. Block copies. Oh, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I was just saying good use of your time.
Right. I just hope somehow some candidate can break through and become a true public servant of the great majority of this country, who currently we have no representation at the federal level, very, very little representation at the state level, and dwindling representation at the local level. And this is all because of the vile parasite George Soros, by the even older initiative by the despicable Koch brothers, the ALEC ALEC initiative, that's even getting their candidates elected to district attorney, to school boards. It's just reprehensible. And yet everybody's, oh man, it's a good thing we got our football back. Good thing we can watch LeBron James, man. It's like people need to wake up and realize that, you know, look at what is going on in Australia. I just saw a news blurb on an email that said that Australia just gave police the power to strip people and give them a vaccination. No.
Jesus.
I know. And then Trump has just ordered
That followed after they confiscated their weapons, you notice. There'd be a hell of a turnout
exactly.
here.
We'd have
firefights on every block in the country if they were to pull that shit here.
No doubt.
On the previous statement that you made, Jim, I agree with the core of it about no president in your memory has ever been subjected to the kind of, you know.
Not in my memory, in history. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But since you mentioned the FBI and that, during this show, I sent an email to you and Giuseppe and some others about the Nick Bryant interview with Bonnie Faulkner that I mentioned on yesterday's show. And he mentioned, it's prominent in there, so he mentions the FBI, and he basically has said that in these particular cases, it was the FBI's job to kill the investigation. And he makes mention of the FBI multiple times. I highly, highly recommend you look at that, listen to it, and send it to your guest, Chris, so he can hear it too.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Bonnie Faulkner. I regard her as a friend. I've interviewed her. She's interviewed me. She's going to be coming to our conference, our Question Everything conference in Austin on the 7th and the 8th of November. Mm-hmm. Where I've just been updating and revising the program. So we're going to have a mini 9/11 conference. Richard Gage has joined now. So I got Joe Olson and Jeff Prager, who are two of the best on what happened to the Twin Towers. And Richard Gage wants to defend the nanothermite hypothesis. That'll be on Saturday. On Sunday, I have a mini JFK conference with three of the very best. Ralph Sinclair is going to be talking about whether what we saw on TV was as we were told, whether when we thought we saw Jack Ruby shoot Lee Oswald. I guarantee you that's going to dumbfound you. We got David Mantic, the leading medical expert in the world, talking about how many times JFK was hit and where. And we got Larry Rivera, who's been doing the most brilliant work on the newly released documents and on the Zapruder film and reconstructing how much was left out. I mean, there's just stuff there that's going to just astonish you. Those are just a couple of the highlights. We also have a leading expert on the Godfathers of Sex who's got a two-volume book. She's a former professor of law who has published on Bill Cosby and Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein. We got an expert on the use of directed energy weapons who has a PhD in particle physics from Oxford. And we got our very own Rebecca Carnes from Newtown, Newtown Mother, speaking out about Sandy Hook. This is a fabulous event. And believe it or not, you don't actually have to be there because it's going to be available on pay-per-view. So if you go to mixnstream.com, M-I-X-N-stream, S-T-R-E-A-M.com, you can check out the program. We're updating it today. I haven't seen it since I got on, and I just set some revisions. But I'm telling you, the highlights are terrific, and you can watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Good stuff. Good stuff. But
Jim, I'm amazed that Richard Gage is coming into the snake pit. I mean, he's such a empty suit and such a clown that for him to be coming is really shocking.
Well, he wanted to come. But because he felt his preferred nanothermite hypothesis was going to be receive short change, and I certainly welcomed him when the opportunity arose. It was all highly circumstantial. It has to do with email threads and my taking advantage of opportunities to lay out, you know, 9/11 truth and to expand the audience to get greater involvement, and it seems to have had an unexpected benefit here.
But Jim, doesn't he know? Hasn't he worked out
Paul, Paul, he knows. We got it. You guys are great. Giuseppe, Paul, and Chris, you're a phenomenon. We got to get you your own show. Hey, Chris, thanks for listening. Watch the debate tonight.